Sometimes the best bet is just put the mattress on the floor. Hello and welcome to Best Motorcycle Roads. I'm Tom.
And I'm Todd. We have over 65 years of combined motorcycling experience and 30 years of planning and riding motorcycle trips. We're here to share with you everything we've learned over those years.
Our goal at Best Motorcycle Roads is simple. Make your next motorcycle trip the best it can be. We'll dive into technology, planning, packing, the routes, and other tips and everything in between.
From essential prep to unforgettable routes, we've got you covered.
Before we kickstart today's journey, we ask you to sign up for our BMR Rider Alerts. It's our way of keeping you in the loop with the latest rides, tips, and stories. We promise no spam, only the essentials to enhance your motorcycle adventures. Join the BMR crew today. We'll put a link in the show notes. This segment about motorcycle gear reviews and tips we call the Toolkit. Today we'll talk about the GoPro 12 and the Senna Meshport Red. This combo pack is new for us, so what we're trying to do is document more of our trips, and honestly, this will help us get our helmet communicators tied into the video that we're going to shoot on this next one. So
yeah, that'll be great.
We picked up a GoPro 12, which is pretty amazing in itself, and then I was telling Todd that we picked up a terabyte memory card. Yeah. The ones that are the size of your little fingernail. And what's really great about that is, from what we can tell, shooting in 4K, we're going to be able to shoot about 40 hours on the one chip. So hopefully that works out pretty well. And I'm kind of excited to record the audio, too.
Yeah, that'll be fun. We have a lot of good conversations when we ride.
And, some not so good.
Some not so good, but it'll be nice.
Some really bad, actually.
It'll be nice to have some of those, recorded.
So then the Senna Meshport Red is an add-on device that basically taps into the Senna's mesh port, and then that's all the communicators are also running on the mesh, Senna mesh. So then all of those things will be comboed up, and then you connect the Senna mesh with Bluetooth to the camera, and then hopefully it'll be quite a cool thing. I've seen some examples, and it sounds really fun. And I know for me, Todd, and as we're talking about documenting trips, this is the part we're missing right now, like documenting some of these discussions, talks, and not to say that you guys want to hear about everything we talk about, but I know that you and I have some aspirations of just stories that we can capture that they're hard to put into words afterwards. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, they're hard, and sometimes you just forget about them until a conversation comes up later. So it'll be nice to have those.
Yeah, I agree.
RideWise is the section we focus on planning and safety tips. So Travis asked us about different motorcycles. I think that was maybe in the last episode.
Yep, episode 9.
And so let's chat a little bit about standard bikes.
Yeah.
Like technically speaking, what we call a standard is like a motorcycle that's maybe like 300 to 600 pounds, kind of in that range. And really most important, it's the ones that have that kind of upright riding position.
Yep.
Your foot controls are underneath rather than out front. And, that really actually comes in handy when you see a big bump in the road or a pothole, you could just almost stand up on those.
Yeah.
The foot pegs are right under you and get your butt off the seat to, absorb that bump.
Yeah.
Whereas on a cruiser, your feet out front.
You're getting tailbone.
You sometimes just take it right on your tailbone.
And I think honestly, why they call them standard bikes is because they used to be called motorcycles.
Oh, right.
It was all motorcycles that happened probably until the 70s when people started making choppers and Harleys, honestly. I mean, I think they're just the bike. They were the motorcycle, So that's why I think you'll see or reflect when people are talking about them. Sometimes they also do talk about like a 60s and 70s style. Mm-hmm. But yeah, totally. Just a round-to-town motorcycle, still used in many countries, but yeah, I mean it's a great bike.
And you can take them on long rides. You can outfit them with windscreens. You could put bags on them. You could strap a bunch of luggage to them. They're usually made for two passengers.
Yep. And well, they have two seats. I don't know if they're actually made for two people. No, I'm kidding.
Good point.
It's a joke. But no, I mean, And in some countries, I've seen up to three or four.
I've seen those videos as well.
It's the family motorcycle.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, like you said, I think most standard bikes have places to attach things, bags, luggage, different sorts of things. And honestly, that's how the Honda Goldwing got started. It was not a touring bike. It was just a motorcycle with a bigger motor on it. When the Honda Goldwing came out in 75, it's a 1,000cc motor. And in fact, a lot of the luggage was just aftermarket. You know, it wasn't until later on that it became something that was more Vetter was one of the ones that came out with the first luggage and fairings to kind of turn them into a touring bike. So, yeah, standard bikes are great. I mean, they're great to ride, easy to ride.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah, probably easy to work on, too, because there's not a lot of plastic or covering.
The engine
is exposed.
Yep.
You can really kind of see and get at everything. And it's one of those bikes that if, people are just getting started, a standard motorcycle is great. You know,
They're cheap. Not a lot of plastic.
They're a little bit lighter, than some of the big cruisers and touring bikes, and sport touring bikes.
But they're comfortable to ride.
They're easy to park, easy to get into your garage.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. You know, it's like a motorized bicycle, really. I mean, the same feet position and all that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah, you had found a few bikes out there that were standards.
Yeah, like a Honda CB500, Kawasaki the Z650, Suzuki has the SV650.
Which is basically the old Bandits. Like, there's a lot of people know what the Bandit looks like. Yep.
Yep. BMW has kind of a standard bike, like the F900R.
Yeah. And even the old BMW GS horizontally opposed, those are all standards. Even their adventure bikes are really a standard bike. They call them adventures, but they really are standards.
Yeah. And I've seen the ones we call standard now, like the Ducati Monster. I think they just have one seat on them. I don't think they're...
Generally.
Those aren't made for two up.
Yeah, for sure.
I think those are one.
The next segment is what we call the mile marker. It's our story segment. So the theme of today is really documenting the trip. You know, I think this is something that we've done okay at times and just horrible at other times.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of comes down to planning again. And that seems to be a common theme whenever we talk. But I mean, even with the beginning of the trip, starting with a plan, I think just sharing the plan just helps people connect. It helps people get an idea of what's all going to be going down, going on.
Yeah.
And you know, something that I think is just brilliant that we've used now is just using your Google Calendar, right? How easy is that? So I know you did it recently when we've been planning our next trip and you had just went ahead, booked the rooms, and then you put the reservation and the confirmation number, boom, right in the, an event for that day. And it's that's awesome, right? And so then doing the same thing, because one of the struggles that we used to kind of have is how are we going to get the maps? How are we going to share the maps? Mm-hmm. Who's going to know what is this the updated map? You know, or is this the old map? You know, and like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I think using the calendar events for each day for that works fantastically as well. So, and it just gives people a heads up of what to come, where we're going. Mm-hmm. They can look at it. And then if you update it, boom, it's done. So I love that idea. And so that kind of starts with the plan. So it gets an idea of where we're going. You know, and then, but what's really the best part is the pictures, maybe the stories. But so, you know, I think, and we haven't done this yet, so this is going to be new for us for this year, is kind of number one, encouraging everyone to try to document more. Mm-hmm. Just being verbal about it. But second, what I wrote down was, you know, it's a lot of pressure to make one person that person. So if we can say, hey, you know, everyone participate, take pictures, that would be good. So, but one thing I know we're terrible at done is get the picture of like before you leave, like the before picture, you know?
Yeah.
And that can just, it doesn't have to be anything special, a selfie, you know, right before you pull out, boom, take a picture. And then if you flip that over and you get the, wherever you guys are all going to be at, everyone is going to be last. Because sometimes we have people, like on one of our next trips, you're going to go a different direction at the end as others. So that, we should just get that picture then too. So at least we kind of have the bookends, right?
Yeah, agreed. And along the way, I mean, you can go into your phone and take some notes, but you can just have a little notebook too.
Right.
You know, and just
yeah, it doesn't have to be.
Write down a couple of things that happened throughout the day or something you saw or the weather or the road you were on. It's just nice to have that written down. And then maybe later when you're done with the trip, you can transfer it into
yeah,
electronic storage. You know,
one idea I had here too is maybe we should try to do that since we haven't, again, done a great job of this, but trying to think about how we can. I think just having the podcast has helped us kind of re-envision how we take motorcycle trips. And I was thinking like, okay, every day at dinner, we're generally done before we eat our evening meal. And I'm thinking, okay, well, that's one thing we could talk about. We could just take notes for the day at dinner time and say, okay, what did you remember about today? You know, what do you, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the only thing you miss then is the antics that happen after dinner, which, you know, you could always come back for.
True.
But yeah. And
those
then,
are easier to remember than.
And then just to pick every day at the start of the day, end of the day. You know, even if it's just people getting junk off their bike or putting stuff on their bike in the morning, I think those are good. And then what I try to do too is every time we stop for gas or food, at least take one picture. And it does a couple things, right? So we'll talk about in a minute the Google timeline. But when you take those pictures, you know, the modern phones, unless you've turned it off, it saves GPS location where you took the picture and the time of day you took the picture. And I cannot tell you how many times I went back to those and looked and said, oh, well, shoot, it was March 12th of 2013. I would not have known that, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that is the other piece that's helpful.
Yeah, to have that timestamp on the photos. And I've done the same thing where I start looking through photos, and luckily you can line them up by time. And
exactly.
Yeah, and then you go, oh, that's what we did. That's right.
Yeah, you know, and, well, it's kind of cool, too, now the AI and some of these photo saving places, Google Photos, Amazon Photos, they're starting to get better about visualizing what's in the picture, too, so you can say motorcycle, and then it narrows it down.
Yeah.
Gets me to the right time, then I go back and hit, just, you know, dial into that, so. Tons and tons of people, of course, are using a lot of action cams. You know, you see it all over YouTube. They're beautiful. It's great, right? Yeah. And so, so we talked about the GoPro 12 with the Senna Mesh Port Red. The Insta360 is a very popular camera now. If you've seen this one, it almost looks like there's a camera floating in front or behind of the bike. That's the Insta360, and they have a little, so you usually mount them on, you mount them on a selfie stick. And then the software will eliminate that selfie stick. So that's that's how you get that cool picture.
Oh, okay.
So if you ever think, how in the world are they doing this? It's a selfie stick, but then they use the, they kind of overlap the picture and get rid of it, and which is pretty cool. So that's cool. And that's video. And like we talked about with these mega cards now, and on the GoPro 12 that we're going to be leveraging, I bought a weatherproof battery door cover. And then you can slip power cord right through, weatherproof, and the GoPro 12 is already weatherproof, so is the Insta360. So now you can record and not worry about the battery dying, because that is a sin. And the GoPro, they're just trying. I mean, they only have so much space, you know, and it takes so long. So one trick that I've used previously, though, to that is I'd mount a camera, and then I just put it every 60 seconds, take a picture, or every 2 minutes, take a picture. And, you know, it's not video, but man, if I go back through those, there's always great pictures. In fact, the current picture that we have on bestmotorcycleroads.com was one that I took as a 60-second interval picture.
Now, when you say you took it, did you physically push the button?
Or
it just set it on a timer?
So it's like time-lapse, but you can go into a photo mode, and then you can say take a picture every, and usually it'll be like 1 second, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 30, 60, you know, and I'll set it on 60 or 200, you know, as much as I can. Not 15 minutes, you know, but, you know, somewhere in the 1 to 5 minute range. And then you just end up with a lot of great pictures. And usually what I would do is I'd change the battery at the next stop, put a new card in if I thought it needed it. You can usually get many thousand pictures. You'll run out of battery before you run out of card.
And so now you don't have to worry about putting a new battery in because you're going to have it plugged in, right?
The new one with the video, I would highly recommend looking at these waterproof doors. Because, oh my gosh, what a difference. I mean, you're talking, you could be 90 minutes of video and that's it on a on a GoPro, like, which is a lot when you think about it, but then not a lot when you think about an 8 hour day.
Right.
So, yeah, so the new one will be always running. So I'll have to stop it and then hopefully we'll figure out the comms and it'll be pretty good. So, just permanent mount. We have many pictures that I don't want to totally admit on, but like, many years, I bought a Sony camera because it had a door. When you flip the door open, it was a digital camera. It would turn the camera on.
Oh, yeah.
And then the one I had was perfect because I could take a picture with my finger.
Yeah.
And I knew it was just worked. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 2015 and earlier, that's what we used to document while we were riding pics. Yeah. And it just, you know, it was okay. And I tried mounting a digital SLR on there and it was okay. It was just always having problems with the zoom. Like it was autofocus. It was not loving that way you're driving down the road at all. And then one other just quick tip before I get go, because this will happen every time. Clean your lens off at every stop. Oh, yeah. Because bugs. I have a 1,000 pictures that would have been amazing if it hadn't had a bug in it. So maybe I have to run those through AI. So then this is something we've struggled with, and I don't know that we've completely found a solution. If anybody says what they do, that'd be great. It's just the long-term storage, because what you and I have been trying to do now as we start this podcast is kind of put these stories back together, you know, and archive them in the trip mode instead of my Google Photos, your Amazon Photos. Like, it just is then they're everywhere, right? So, so looking for something, if anyone has good tips for that. Long-term photo storage. And then when you add video, it just gets gargantuan.
Right.
You know, I mean, we're going to be talking about we'll have, you know, 300 megabytes or gigabytes of video storage when we come back. So,
And you talked about the Google timeline. It's been really nice to go back.
Yeah. I missed talking about that. I'm glad you brought
that
up.
To go back and look at my Google timelines from, you know, 8 years ago. Because it'll show you where you stopped for meals. It'll show you where you stayed at the hotels. And then you can, of course, see the route and all the roads. And
it's the secret hack for me when you're like, oh, I can't believe you remember this. I didn't. I just went back and looked at Google Timeline.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, over the years, you can tell when I switch phones because it'll tell you on there too. So, the Google Timeline is cool as long as you're not paranoid about everybody tracking you. If you even get over that part, it's great.
Yeah.
It's cool to see all the places you've been to. So, So I guess I thought I'd talk a little bit about a couple things. We talked about the standard bikes. So I've taken 2 trips on standard bikes and both were fun. Lake Michigan, loop of Lake Michigan 2007, 2001 Yamaha FZ1. Most people look at that bike and they'll say it's a sport bike. It's definitely not. Sport bike is when your feet are behind you. And this is not that. It's a standard, but it was not a comfortable bike, nor was I in the shape that I needed to be in to make that a comfortable trip. I went back and actually used the Google Timeline to look at some pictures and full-faced helmet, no modular, because, you know, we weren't into that then. And then the windshield, it was about that big. It was about 10 inches wide, 14 inches tall. So it was interesting. And then that second day, and this is where we were documenting with our handheld cameras, because I've got some cool pictures of this fog, but we headed up in the UP north on Highway 41. We probably got up at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, and I was getting water, no rain, but it was fog. You know, you're right next to that, and it was just brutal, which is also why I was just going to mention why I like gloves that have a little plastic. My friend used to call it the wiper blade, but it's like a plastic rubber thing that you can kind of just scrape across.
Yeah.
Works wonders when you don't have a full Goldwing windshield and you're actually eating bugs and dirt and stuff. So that was a great trip on a standard motorcycle. One of my most memorable parts of that is laying on a concrete sidewalk on the third day thinking we're never going to make it back. You know, like,
I saw pictures,
God, it was terrible. But that's also where the, sometimes you got to move the mattress on the floor. We went to Traverse City and there was 4 of us and we had the last room in Traverse City.
Gotcha. So
there was one bedroom, which the couple went in, and then Brad and I pulled that awful pull-out couch mattress just on the floor. And we figured it out. So, yeah. My second one, though, is one of my most, still the longest trip I think I've ever taken. 78 Goldwing. That's a standard bike. But my favorite part of that was the luggage because, as we talked about earlier, there was no official luggage from Honda yet. Really soon after they did.
Yeah.
But Vetter had it. But that one had the Samsonite luggage on it. So, that's the best, man.
So cool.
I love that luggage.
Did the luggage come off? Like, could you carry it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They had like the barrel lock on the back, and you could it was just like a barrel lock. It was a screw, and you just unscrewed it, and it popped off.
Beautiful.
You can carry it right on in. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Don't tell Colleen, my wife, this, but I have a brand new set upstairs here that someday we'll find another Goldwing to restore and put it on. But honestly, like, in all practical terms, the standard bike is probably just the most adaptive, mm-hmm. you know, reliable bikes there are. And they're usually the cheapest.
Yeah.
They're just kind of no nonsense. And now with right. technology, they're pretty decent bikes. I mean, they're, mm-hmm. there's good bikes. A lot of people ride them mm-hmm. for long distances. So yeah. yeah, I'm a big fan. The podcast can be found on bestmotorcycleroads.com/podcast. All the information you need will be there. But you can subscribe on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple, Pocket Casts, and YouTube.
This is the interactive segment. We will be looking for input from you. We want you to send us your questions and suggestions for roads, topics, and anything else you have on your mind. Before I talk about today's roadside Q&A, I need to give a shout-out to Interceptor Moto. He's been enjoying the podcast and sent us a note on YouTube, and he is looking forward to taking a ride on Tail of the Dragon.
Oh, wow. Point.
But hey, thanks Interceptor Moto for your comment. And then we actually have a question from Phil, and he's asking, how do you maintain comfort during the extended hours of riding on the road? Mm-hmm. And boy, there's all kinds of tricks to that, but really getting your feet into different positions. I find that, you know, I'll stretch my legs out sometimes and lay my legs over the top of my highway pegs.
Yeah.
Other times I'll move my feet behind me
yep.
and hook them onto the passengers.
Yeah.
Like floorboards. Just for me, it's moving my legs around a little bit, or, you know, straightening up. And I do have a backrest on my yeah. bike, so sometimes I'll just kind of lean back. But how about you? I mean, what are you doing to yeah, maintain your comfort?
When I think legs, I think my knees. You know, my knees are what yeah. get, you know, we're older. The knees are not as good as they used to be. So for me, it's that. A lot of times, too, you know, a lot of bikes, you can buy the risers, like mm-hmm. bar risers for. So I know for, like, the newer Goldwing, it's 9/16 of an inch taller, which seems like nothing.
Nothing, right.
And then 2.5 inches back, which doesn't seem like much either. But what I've always been told is to get those elbows below your, or, you know, elbow is kind of in that same neighborhood as your handle, your hand grips. And that way you don't get too, you know, you're not get, because you don't want your shoulders up too high. You know, you want to get the elbows yeah. like below your kind of grips. And then your shoulders are more in a relaxed position.
That makes sense.
And that way you don't get kind of, because I've had my shoulders get this, like on the FZ1 ride, I remember many times I'm laying up on the front bars right. with both hands like that. You know, windshields, we've talked about that a little bit, you know, like. Breaking the wind, you know, if you don't want to go riding, if you haven't been out riding for long and you don't have much of a windshield, your neck's going to be in trouble
yeah.
because you're fighting the wind with the helmet the whole time, you know, and if you're used to it, it's fine. You just get more strong neck mm-hmm. muscles. But yeah, those are the two big things there. And you said backrest too, and you're going to get that more in these touring motorcycles. Mm. But, you know, sometimes you can just put, like many years we put one of the bags behind you
yeah,
and use that for the backrest. It's just nice to get positions. I think you mentioned it. And mm-hmm. then one more thing I'll talk about, and maybe we can highlight it in another podcast in the future, but staying hydrated does help too. And
absolutely.
I'm working on a rig to kind of get me some water. I'm not sure I want the coffee cup the size of, you know, a small nation state on my handlebars like you guys do. But no, I mean, just keeping that going, I think is good.
Stay hydrated.
Mm-hmm. Now it's time for the last mile. It's our way to close up the episode with a reflection. So, Todd, what'd you think of this one? What stuck out?
Well, just documentation. Why it's good to document? Because
I can't remember crap anymore.
Well, that's just it. I mean, for some reason, my memory just isn't that good, you know? And there's so many times when you guys will say, remember when we were on this road or that road? Remember when we did this? Remember? And I'm always like,
you know, we're just making it up.
Was I there?
You're like, so, timeline does not say that.
So it's great to have these timelines. It's great to write it down as soon as you're done
yeah.
and have the pictures that go along with the timeline and the timestamps.
Yeah.
Because there's been so many great things we've done. And now that I go back through my Google timeline and really start to line everything up, wow. I mean, we've seen some
yeah.
some stuff, you know, and it's been great. So yeah, I just highly recommend yeah. document.
I couldn't agree more. And one of my favorite things, you know, and you see these coming up on your a little the screen devices here, there, and everywhere, but you'll just see a picture come up and you're like, oh yeah, like I totally forgot about that. You know, like, oh my goodness, there's, you know, the kids last night, we were talking about tenderloins, you know, and so I brought up the picture of the mega loin, you know, like, and it was just, those are the things, like you said, I think when you start to forget about those things, then going on the next trip doesn't always maybe seem as fun until you start to realize, like you just said, like, oh yeah, we did that, we did that, we did that, you know. Yeah. I know that one of my favorite burger places is Moonshine, you know, and when we were on a trip driving the, I'm like, we're going to be close with my kids. And like, can we go to Moonshine? And like, you know, like, so it's just funny how it just kind of carries on. So yeah, I couldn't agree with the documentary. Thanks. And then the next episode, we're going to talk about navigating as you're riding at night. Not something you necessarily want to do, but you know, it happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. So. If this episode revved up your day, don't keep it to yourself. Like, subscribe, and share it with your crew. We're all about the thrill of the ride and the bond it creates.
Keep the spirit of adventure alive, and remember, bikes, friends, and endless roads, the stories ride forever. Take care.